I was hunting, and there was a group of us bow hunting deer over in eastern Washington on the other side of Chinook Pass. I'd bow hunt deer there in September, and then I'd hunt elk with a rifle around St. Helens in November. This was back, this dates way back to 1987, I believe it was, and I intended to spend 9 days up there. My friends were going to just spend the weekend, go home, and then come back for the next weekend. We'd sit around the campfire and talk and tell scary little stories and stuff like that. And one of the guys that that was up there with us, he had his fiance camping with us. And Saturday night, she kept hearing things around camp in the middle of the night. And she was afraid to get up, I guess, and go to the bathroom. And when she told us about it the next day, we just all assumed she heard deer or something around camp. We absolutely did not take it serious. We just assumed she was unfamiliar with what she was hearing. The next day, everybody left that afternoon, and so I was up there by myself. There was a horse camp that was, I don't know if I told Wes or not, but there was a horse camp that was camped a couple hundred yards up towards the end of this road. And that's pretty much where the road dead ends and turns into, heads over to the William O. Douglas Wilderness area. They had packed up and left too. I was completely alone up there. There was no other camps. And back then, bow hunting wasn't quite as popular as it is today either. So I'm not spooked. I'm not, there's nothing there to intimidate me, basically. And I go about my business and hunt that evening. Get back to camp, after dark, I make my dinner. Relax, settle in for the night. Get in my sleeping bag, and I think I was reading a map or something. And by the time I turned my lantern off, it didn't take long. Let me kind of just give you a description of. I was camped in a hairpin turn, just before the last hairpin turn on the 1500 road, just a few hundred yards up from there, it dead ends, and like I said, it borders the wilderness area. I was camped right in the hairpin. And as I turned my lantern off, I laid down, and all of a sudden I heard something walk across the road, and it was on 2 feet, and it was loud. And it came from the opposite side into my side of the road. It startled me, and I sat straight up in my sleeping bag wondering what the hell I just heard. I'm listening, I can't hear anything, and then I can start hearing branches and stuff move, and it seemed like they were getting closer and closer to my tent. I couldn't hear footsteps then. I still don't know what I'm listening to. All I know is something came across the road. It was on two legs, and it had a heavy step. But once it got onto my side, it was quiet. But like I said, I'm starting to hear it approach. I'm kind of nervous. I'm unarmed at the time. Back then, you couldn't be armed when you're bow hunting in the field. And so I had no guns with me at the time, and a little unnerved by all this. And suddenly, it must have been right outside my tent. I had my cooler set up by my tent, and it must have kicked my cooler, because my cooler spun around and slammed into the side of my tent. That scared the hell out of me. And I grabbed a machete. That was the only thing that I had there next to me that I could defend myself with. I remember grabbing the machete and holding on to this. And this thing had to have been so close, I didn't smell it. I couldn't hear it walk. I couldn't hear it breathe. But I swore it could hear my, I thought it could hear my heartbeat. Then as it, after the cooler, it walked over, it must have walked over to where I had my kitchen set up. And I remember hearing my Coleman gas can hit the ground. It wasn't a pop from expansion. I don't know if you've ever dealt with them as the sun goes up and down, you know, right. The temperature change, they'll pop sometimes. This wasn't a pop. It hit the ground. And then it walked over towards my car, which is about 10 yards away from the tent. And once again, I did hear it go through the brush, or there was another tree over by the car. And if I'm not mistaken, it was about maybe 10 foot high. And it still had boughs that were relatively close to the ground. It sounded like it was moving up against it, almost like, and it probably sounds ridiculous, but it almost sounded like it was using it for possible cover or I don't know, but I could hear the branches move. And it may have touched the car. But I don't even know how long all this lasted. It must have, its curiosity was, I think, I thought was done with me. And it walked back across the road and went down into a gully about 100 yards below me. This whole time, I don't know what I'm hearing. I'm trying to make sense of what I'm listening to. All I know is this thing was on two legs. I don't understand what could have snuck through my camp like that, picked up the gas can and dropped it. Like I said, I never heard any sound once it was in camp. I never smelt anything. I didn't hear it breathe. But now I'm listening to this thing about 100 yards below me in a gully, and it starts tearing a log apart or a stump. To my relief, I started convincing myself that's a bear. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a bear. He's tearing a stump apart. So, okay, you're getting all worked up over nothing. It's just a bear. Relax. And I did try to relax. And I'm a little upset thinking about this stuff. You guys got me all scared. So after a little while, the noise stops. It stops tearing the tree apart. I hear nothing. But then suddenly it's coming back up the hill, and it's coming up on 2 feet. And that is no doubt. And I thought, you know, this, I don't know what the hell is going on, but I've had enough. And I turned the lantern on real quick. It had an electric switch. Turned the lantern on. I slid my boots on. I didn't even lace them. And I got out of the tent. I ran for the car. Got into the car. And in my mind, I thought that by the time I've done all this and got into my car, it had to be right there at the road or right next to camp again. And I remember not wanting to see whatever it was. And I slammed my mirror, broke my rearview mirror off, basically. The lantern is still lit between me and the steering wheel. I basically did a 12-mile race down the mountain on this logging road, back down to Highway 410. The way this gully and this canyon work, and the road runs parallel to Cowpuncher Ridge, I kept thinking this thing was going to intersect me somewhere between... before I got down far enough, before I got down to McDaniels Lake, I kept thinking this thing's going to run down. It can come down the side of this mountain and intersect me. And I really was afraid. But like, keep in mind, I had this lantern in between me and the steering wheel, and I'm racing down the mountain like the Dukes of Hazzard. I lived in Tacoma, and I remember making it back to Tacoma in an hour and a half. Got in kind of late that night, talked to my girlfriend at the time. And, of course, she was skeptical. I wasn't sure what I was talking about and didn't really want to believe what I was saying. But, I grabbed a little sleep. The next morning I got up early. I grabbed a 12 gauge and my .06 and I went back up to camp. Nothing was disturbed. And, I could see the cooler slammed into the tent. I could see the gas can laying on its side. But other than that, I couldn't see anything. Nothing was missing. Nothing was missing. There was a smudge on the car, and it looked like it possibly might be a hand. But I don't know. I can't be certain about that. But other than that, in the daylight, everything seemed normal. I couldn't find any tracks because the ground's kind of hard up there in pine needles, and it's dry over there. And so tracks are going to be difficult. I tried to calm myself. I went hunting. I stayed near camp. I didn't go far, but I was out of the timber before dark. I was back in camp watching the sun go down. I got a little nervous about it, but I tried to maintain my composure and tried to figure out, okay, tonight I'm armed. I'm all right. We're going to figure out what's going on. I don't want something to ruin my hunting, like I was telling Wes. I mean, I love to hunt. I want to make sure that I fully understand what's going on. I don't want something crazy to ruin my hunting. So anyways, I convinced myself that it was possibly a prank and did my routine, ate, I went back to bed, lantern on for a little bit, and then I heard when you come up the 1500 road, you got Bethel Ridge on one side, you got Cowpuncher Ridge on my side. Mm-hmm. Any vehicles that are coming, you can hear them echo for miles.
For miles.
And so as I'm laying there, I start hearing this car. I'm thinking, all right. Okay, it is a prank. You watch. These guys are going to come in here after dark like they're doing now. They're going to shut the car down, and then the game's going to begin. So that's what I was expecting. And, well, the car ended up being my brother, my girlfriend's brother-in-law. And he was in camp with us initially Saturday and Sunday. He'd left Sunday. He had talked to Angela, and she told him what happened, and he had to come see for himself. And so he came into camp. I explained everything to him. And by now, I'm so exhausted. I'm tired. I haven't slept. And you know, the stress. And so I'm trying to get some sleep. I'm not hearing anything yet. And I remember Mike asking me, he says, what time did this happen last night? And I says, what time is it? I think he said 9:30 or something like that. And I said, and jokingly, I told him he's late. And I started dozing off. By that time, Mike shakes me again. Rock, did you hear this? Did you hear this? Listen. I'm listening, and you can hear movement down on the other side of the hairpin again. But now you're hearing what I called, at that time, I called it gibberish. They were chattering. It was talking. The other thing that was really peculiar about this is I was telling Wes that when this thing was talking, I'm not sure if it was, you heard a clicking sound. But I don't know if it was clicking from its tongue and cheek or if it was clicking like stones together, if that makes sense. It would had an intense voice. It wasn't that it was overly loud or anything, but it was intense, a very strong voice, if that makes sense. As soon as he would, don't laugh at me, but I'm going to try to mimic a little bit of kind of what I was hearing. And it sounded almost like a, and with clicking going on while he was doing this. I thought it was like, another way I described it was like somebody speaking Russian backwards, if that made sense too. And as soon as he stopped, another one would pipe off, right, about probably 20, 30 yards up from him. And he would respond to that. And then a third one would put in his two cents. And so we were semi-surrounded by these things, and they were just on the other side of the road. They couldn't have been no more than 30 yards from us. I imagine they were even closer. I'm just saying they couldn't have been any further than that. They seemed to stay stationary. Occasionally you'd hear stuff move around, but I didn't feel so threatened. It was intense. It was incredible to hear what I'm hearing. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Mike would, then it shut down, and Mike stayed, he was just awake, he was my sentry. I kept, you know, once it slowed down a little bit, I would doze off, and then Mike would wake me up again. You gotta hear this, and we'd listen to this stuff again. And this went on. There was at one point, Mike wanted to leave, he couldn't handle it anymore, and he wanted me to shoot warning shots to my tent. I thought, absolutely not, that's not gonna happen. I didn't feel threatened enough to shoot, but scared enough to where I didn't dare. And I don't know what's going on, and I don't know what this is. What if it's people? You know what I mean? I don't want to shoot somebody, and I don't know what I'm shooting at. I'm not pulling the trigger. After a while, he suggested we leave, and that he would hold the flashlight. We could, and I'd take the guns, and he'd get us to the car. And I thought, you know, I'm not leaving, Mike. I says, if they come across the road, you wake me up. Wake me up. If you hear anything on that road or come across the road, please wake me up. Then it's going to be a different story. But they never did. But they stayed there till almost daylight the next day. And I don't know if they were observing us or I don't know what the hell they were doing. I really don't. I just know they scared the hell out of me. They scared the hell out of Mike so bad that Mike's never gone back in the woods to camp. And this was almost 30 years ago.